a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
Why do friends quickly disappear every time you are near? Just like me, they don't want to be close to you. Why do they run away and hide every time you walk by? Just like me, they don't want to be close to you. On the day you sneezed, we warned you to please use your elbow. You decided to not leash in your achoos. So you sprinkled moist breath in our hair. I'm cold and shaky when I think of you. That is why I'll stay out of town every time you're around. Just like me, they don't want to be close to you.
That's right, people. Nobody wants to be close to you.
It's a pretty good Karen Carpenter.
Yeah, it is a pretty good Karen Carpenter. For those of you that don't know the song, that is Close to You by the Carpenters. God rest her soul, Karen Carpenter. God, she's been dead for a long time now.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank God Karen Carpenter doesn't have to be around to see this. She would be so saddened. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Tom here with Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hey.
Catherine, this is our 10th episode. Can you believe we've done 10 of these monsters?
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Let me just bring this lady. Yeah, this lady does. She sounds pretty, you know, spot on to Karen Carpenter. Like anything, I'll always post these up in our show threads. This was by Shirley Serban on YouTube. Again, sticking with the theme here on our show, our quarantine show, all of our quarantine jams. I mean, who knows? I mean, after this is all said and done, I could just make like a now that is what I call quarantine mix or something, you know, all these quarantine parody songs that have come out. I mean, granted, I think we've all kind of jumped the gun on this and everybody's starting to get tired with the whole, you know, coronavirus COVID-19 joke. But here we are, you know, speaking of that, doing a 10th episode of the show. Today is May 21st, 2020. This is day 70 of quarantine for us.
Wow. That's depressing.
Yeah, it is kind of depressing.
But it's okay. I'm feeling better, actually.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I saw the meme recently on Twitter, like, what phase of quarantine, you know? Like, people were like, I don't know, I'm on the, whatever. So I'm on the cleaning my house phase of quarantine now.
And goddamn, did you clean our house today?
It's kind of a good phase. I'm kind of into it. It's like, it's a little obsessive, you know, like I get onto one project and now I see 15 others that like desperately need to be done. But aside from that, like obsession factor, I'm feeling pretty good each day I do a project. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I think everybody's got to find that one thing that helps to kind of calm the mind or occupy the mind. We are definitely in that long stretch phase of, will this ever end? And the answer probably is no, it won't end anytime soon.
No.
So find something to occupy yourself. Find some kind of hobby project.
I feel like let it change too. That's what I've been doing. You know, I started with the finished Netflix phase of quarantine, then the napping phase.
Now you're the clean the house phase.
Yeah, project phase.
Project phase. Yeah, there are phases. What comes after project phase?
Oh,
my
I don't
God.
Know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't
honestly
even know.
I feel like the projects could take my whole life.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm not saying you have your whole life for us to be in quarantine. Let's hope not.
Maybe you'll get to the project phase one day.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, what would my projects be?
Helping me with all the rest of the crap.
I'll cheer you on. That's my project phase.
I'm not the only one who can clean an oven.
Oh, God. I don't know. Yeah, that's true. I guess let's go right into some of these stories. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that have been going on in, of course, the world and in the country. I always give the update with coronavirus in the United States. There's over 1,555,000 cases of COVID-19 and over 93,000 deaths. And that was the tally I saw as of today.
All United States, right?
United States. In the world, I think there are over 4 million cases of COVID-19, if I'm correct and I read the numbers correctly. Mm. So the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, obviously it is all about the news cycle and we're never really seeing good news. Something I saw that was, I guess, in the category of possibly good news, as the United States has just recently ordered 300 million doses of a possible, quote unquote, coronavirus vaccine.
This seems like random news. I saw, because there's like a Cambridge-Oxford, maybe, like collaboration happening.
Right.
And they're in testing phases for that. Is that the same thing?
So basically, this is from a UK company called AstraZeneca.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same thing.
Yeah, and basically, the feds have ordered over 300 million doses of the, again, potential coronavirus vaccine, and it's from this British drug maker. Basically, they said that they've been running it through trials. It's all part of this, you know, contract with Trump, this Operation Warp Speed stuff. And they're saying that so far this one's been doing pretty well in the very early testing phases. Of course, it has to go through getting the approvals from the FDA, which can take a long time. That apparently is a very tedious process.
Trump will fire anybody that doesn't fast track it.
But apparently this company's New York shares went up like 2.8%, and they were trading at like $55 a share. So that was kind of why you saw this kind of bump in the stock market last week. So hey, guess what? I mean, more power to finding some kind of a vaccine. Hopefully there's not like terrible side effects. You know, we're not making, not going to be like flipper babies, 5 years after this shit.
I mean, I am not an anti-vaxxer.
Oh my God, who knows?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I am a little nervous about a fast-tracked vaccine.
Yeah, me too. Because then what's going to truly happen, knowing the fate of our humanity, is then it's going to like turn people into fucking zombies, and then The Walking Dead will basically, that prophecy will come true.
Totally. That's what
I'm
nervous about.
That's basically the stride that we're on right now as humanity. But anyway, that I think was probably the silver lining to news that basically came out. Another story that came out is, the CDC is now saying that coronavirus does not spread by touching surfaces. And that was
that?
An article I read in detail. I really take everything with a grain of salt. I mean, I don't know. And I think you and I talked about this morning, is that because all of these agencies now that you're finding out through, whether they're on a state level, it's the whole like agencies being muzzled to say the things that the administration wants them to say, makes it a little shady.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a little bungled, because the CDC itself came out and said we've been muzzled, or certain people, I guess, at the CDC came out and said we're being muzzled by the federal government. So that was a term they used. And so now the very next thing you hear after that is, oh, yeah, it's fine to touch things.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I bought it.
Well, this article I'm reading, again, I post all the articles up in the show thread. I'll put this one up there. This is from a Dr. John White, and he's a chief medical officer at the CDC. And he basically said, many people were concerned that by simply touching an object, they may get coronavirus. And that's simply not the case. Even when a virus may stay on a surface, it does not mean that it's actually infectious.
I call bullshit.
What does it make it infectious, though?
I call bullshit.
Hmm. And then he goes on to say, I think this new guideline helps people understand more about what does and doesn't increase risk. It doesn't mean we stop washing hands and disinfecting surfaces, but it does allow us to be practical and realistic as we try to return to a sense of normalcy. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look, there's going to be stuff like this that's going to come out. What I think it shouldn't do is just for people to think like, hey, it's just cool to not wash my hands anymore. It's cool to not disinfect surfaces. I think everybody needs to act with the utmost vigilance when it comes to things being sanitary. I don't think people should read this and just be like, awesome, touch my face again and put my fingers in my mouth. No. I think if anything, it's just like it's another piece of news that I'm pretty 50-50 with.
I'm not even up to 50%. I don't believe that. I believe that's here I go into conspiracy theory territory.
Tinfoil hat time.
Right. But, you know, it just seems like something you would say if you were trying to get people to go frequent businesses again.
It does sound that way. And the more I read certain kinds of news headlines, and that's in my head now more than ever, is that what we've seen now is an administration that is obviously really trying to beef up their chances for reelection. We're seeing a GOP that is possibly threatened to get basically dismembered and, you know, fearing a blue wave that's coming in November. So I just think the talking points are about the pro startup of economy and everything's going to be okay. It's like that sign, that meme, you know, what is it like, stay calm, carry on, or whatever that famous meme is. It's like, that's what I think news is nowadays. It's like, we're just kind of like, we're weary, but it's like, everything's okay, everybody, but it's really not okay.
I thought you were going to reference the meme, the cartoon dog in fire, and he's saying everything is okay.
Well, that's another one.
Everything
that's
is
perfect.
Just fine.
Everything is just fine. But yeah, and the thing is like, I understand we have to kind of let go of some of the fears in order to kind of get some semblance of our old lives back when it comes to being not afraid to go out. But I think we still have to be on edge.
Yeah, no thanks. I think a healthy dose of fear is where I'm firmly planted.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's been weird to see the news cycle shift in a sense. And I'm not saying everybody's, you know, reporting this way, but I am seeing a lot of just kind of like, hey guys, it might not be so bad out there kind of news coverage.
And maybe that's true, but like, I'm going to let other people risk it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, I'm cool here. There's nothing I need to do that I need to get out there and start doing right away. I'm all right. I'm cool here.
Well, that leads me to the next story is, for one, I'm definitely not running out to go to Universal Studios and Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like excited and
Disney
packing
Springs.
My family up to go to Disney Springs to eat at a Guy Fieri restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, like, risking possibly getting sick or infected by going there is just not, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And basically what I'm referring to is, I believe as early as last week, Disney in Orlando and possibly Disney in California, I'm not really sure if they have a Disney Springs style place in California, but in the Orlando branch, they started opening up that outdoor, basically it's an outdoor like mall. There's all kinds of shops and restaurants, and they just did basically a soft open. And I was reading up a lot about what they were doing, kind of the precautions they were taking with COVID-19. They were doing temperature checks upon entrance. I read something that said if you or any person in your party had a temperature of 100.4, you were not allowed in.
That's really high.
That's high, yeah. And I'm saying, like, I mean, you're burning up. I mean, I would assume also you look like absolutely sick to your fucking life, and you're all clammy and sweaty too. And why are you going to Disney Springs?
I mean, at 102, I would think you look like hell and feel like hell. How did they come up with 104?
Oh no, I think it was 100.4. I'm saying it incorrectly. I think it was 100.4 was their designated temperature.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
104. You look
dead.
Like the guy in Outbreak coming out of the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like, you are convulsing. Your eyes are red. You have blood coming out of your nostrils. You shouldn't be going to Guy Fieri's restaurant with your fucking family. Masks were mandatory in Disney Springs. Social distancing. And for the most part, I saw some photos and it was like, yeah, like a couple of people in some of the photos, it didn't look absolutely swamped. People were obviously abiding by the social distancing in the lines to go into these restaurants, but it has begun. The floodgates have opened. Now, the one thing I thought was interesting is Disney itself posted this disclaimer in Disney Springs and around the area that is very interesting to me, because what it kind of says is like, we're basically not liable if you come and enjoy our properties and you die. And I have it right here. I'm going to read it to you. An inherent risk of exposure to COVID-19 exists in any public place where people are present. COVID-19 is an extremely contagious disease that can lead to severe illness and death. By visiting Walt Disney World Resort, you voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure to COVID-19.
Well, yeah, I'm not there surprised about that.
And that is literally like on posters and signs in the most magical place on earth.
Yeah.
So this is the ushering, the new coming of commerce and economy. You're going to see this, probably this sign or this kind of language everywhere, because it's basically like, it's your ass if you go into this place and you get sick and you die. Period. So yeah, I'm not sure what Universal's been doing. I believe they have, what is it called? City Walk. I don't know if like parks have necessarily been open, but I'm sure like City Walk is like Bubba Gump and like restaurants and, you know, little kitschy shit like mini golf. Again, people are, they're stir crazy. They have cabin fever. They want to get out and stretch their legs. Eventually, if they can, they will. Again, am I running out to do that? Hell no. Again, yeah. I'm going to watch how this first wave kind of reacts, give it a little time, see if there's any, you know, spike in cases after this. I think that'll be the real telling tale.
I don't understand the temperature checks. That's the thing for me is like, okay, you're going to catch with a net. I can't even imagine right. what small percentage of people who right. who actually have the temperature at that moment. You know, what about the folks who just started to feel better, but they're still contagious, or the other way around?
People.
They haven't become sick enough yet to have the temperature, but they're spreading it, or they're completely asymptomatic and they're just super spreaders. So, and I mean, I guess this would be a different thing on rides, and I don't know if any rides are open yet, but
I don't think so. We're not at that point, because that's going to be a total sterilization nightmare.
There was a cluster of people, and I don't remember what state it was in, that they have basically done the study and let us all know what happened. There was this cluster of people, women in a chorus singing, like a chorus group,
mm-hmm.
and there were like 59 women in the group, or 63 women, something like that, and 59 became sick.
Wow.
And it was all from the singing and loud talking, apparently really spreads
droplets. Projecting it out of your mouth.
Yeah, so this chorus group, like almost everybody got sick from one person who had not started showing symptoms yet. So like imagine being on a roller coaster. Ugh. It is outdoors, so that's probably helpful, but like
it's all flying back in the person behind you's
right.
face.
Yeah.
And like how awesome is it to ride on a ride with a fucking mask that's just gonna get ripped off by high winds? Holy shit. I mean, there's going to be some things that are probably going to be a real slow approach getting back into. Like, I don't think show choir is going to be a fun elective in high school for a while.
Mm-mm, that's true.
Singing fucking show tunes with masks on. But, yeah. So that's that. Another thing that has recently dropped is basically this news of the possibility of TV and film production ramping back up in both Georgia, our state, and in California. Now, I know this is something that we have talked about in length on this show a couple of times. We are both in the film and TV industry, and obviously have been affected by COVID-19 and basically the lack of work. But Governor Newsom, the governor of California, recently said that starting next week, they might start pushing the protocols for phases to open up production in certain counties in California. Now, the catch is one of those counties that's not going to open up is L.A. County, which is Los Angeles. And I believe that's kind of where, you know, Hollywood is. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Burbank is located there. That's basically where all these studios are. So I don't really know the details of it. I know they had industry professionals get together for a couple of months and they started breaking down like a guidebook as to how productions could effectively get back to work and be safe and not risk the spread of COVID-19.
I saw you reading that guidebook today.
It was basically a template, kind of a rough draft of the template, broken down in an article. Again, I will post the article. And it just kind of hit some bullet points of some of the things they were talking about. It's actually stuff that we have talked about, actually, like sequestering cast and crew together for the duration of production, whereas like everybody would kind of live together, convene together, and not leave the production area or not be allowed to leave. They would be chaperoned. They can't really step outside. They can't be in contact with their family. It's like going to sleepaway camp for a month, 2 months, while you produce these, whatever they are, TV shows and features.
Probably longer than that.
A lot of on-set precaution. They said that a position that would be created would be basically a expert that would be in place on every set to make sure all the guidelines are being followed, making sure distribution of PPE, making sure people are wearing it correctly, making sure sanitation procedures are happening, social distancing, things like smaller crews, things like not utilizing large groups of extras or background actors. Testing would be an initial thing as well. Everybody would have to be tested. I believe they said 72 hours before production start and then be tested. I wasn't sure if they said on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis. The only thing that it really spells out to me is this is going to be a very expensive endeavor for productions that want to move forward and do this. But the catch is, from reading the article, is that the unions aren't necessarily on board yet, like SAG-AFTRA and, again, all your camera unions and your crew unions.
I would think it's a whole new playbook of rules you've got to come up with. I mean, you can't just, like, trust... Yeah. The studios to do the right thing, you know. At that point,
I don't know. You need like you need watchdogs almost.
Negotiate.
You know?
Well, yeah, and they've got to negotiate what rules are we going to live with,
right?
You know, and not live with, and what are the rate increases for these kinds of things?
It's true. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of negotiation, I think, that goes down before this becomes kind of finite or becomes rule. And then on the other side of things, on the other coast in Georgia, Tyler Perry and his production company have actually thrown a guidebook in the game for productions starting back up here at his studio at Fort McPherson. And I believe he was calling his stuff in a cute, kitschy name, Coronavirus Camp. And it's all basically the same kind of idea of cast and crew being together for the period of production. And it's going to be interesting because you're going to have different kind of views and as to how to go forward with the strategy, but I think what they need to find is one universal way of doing this and trying to implement it and make it rule through independent to major studio productions.
I think that's where the unions come in, is the unions say this is what we will live with, and so they're therefore, you know, everybody that wants to hire a union actor, a union camera guy or DP, whatever, has to abide by the rules that the union has set. I really think it's kind of up to the unions. I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me, but that's where I would
I don't think you're wrong at all. And I think that's going to be kind of the line. I also think what's going to be a problem is insurance, is getting the proper parameters met to insure these large productions. Insurance is a bitch when it comes to major motion pictures, just even on the level that you produce things on. You've had to jump through plenty of hoops and deal with production insurance. They want to make sure that people are safe on a set, and they want to make sure that it's not going to lead to endangering anyone. And with this new invisible threat, how do you insure a production?
Yeah, I bet there's probably some kind of extra coverage you've got to get. Like, I'm sure that my policy now wouldn't cover something like somebody came down with coronavirus. I just can't imagine. So there's probably some, and that's another playbook that maybe some insurance companies have written, but it's an all new playbook that had to be written recently to say like what goes on with this. Maybe not. Maybe other pandemics and other things have like
that's
created that rule book already, but I don't personally know about it. So for me, it would be all new, but that's interesting. The Tyler Perry, it's a little off subject, but first of all, he's definitely the biggest game in town here in Georgia in terms of big name, big studio, sort of he's
influence basically.
Yeah,
too.
he's highly influential. But I've also, and this is not coming from any personal sources, sort of more the online rumor mill says that his production companies are not good to work for, that they like don't pay very well. They work you long hours.
I've heard the same.
Right. And again, nobody I personally know, so this does not come from like my friend Jenny says, but I've mm-hmm. read it online enough that I believe it.
Same.
And especially because I've worked for companies like that and it sounds real familiar.
Yeah.
But with all that said, and this idea of coronavirus camp, I can just see he'd be working people to the fucking bone. I can just see that that's an excuse to be like, where else do you have to be?
Oh, man. Yeah, it could be like the beginning of the 18-hour day.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, but again, though, that's where unions come in, because unions don't allow productions to abuse crew.
I wonder if they are, if they use union. I mean, in Georgia, you don't really have
They do. They're big union people out at Fort McPherson, from what I've been told. So it's just like, but again, that doesn't stop him from trying to sneak stuff under the radar.
Well, but like PAs and stuff, they must be covered, but then how do these stories happen? There must be some way around it.
Oh, I'm definitely sure. I think there's plenty of loopholes in production as to how, especially way below the line, you know, like a PA, you're kind of bottom of the barrel. I'm sure that your story sneaks by, and it's not like you're going to go and complain to the union and they're going to come and shut a production down because you made a PA go pick up, you know, Tyler Perry's underwear somewhere or some shit, you know. Who knows the horror stories? Mm. But regardless, I think any step in that direction is good. It's good for my industry. You can maybe start up work again. I've even said, you know, I work in post-production. I'm very interested to see how we have to change and cater to the post-COVID-19 world. It's just going to be interesting, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of writing new regulations, rewriting regulations, and I think that's going to be across the board. I really do. We watched the John Oliver show last week. His big topic was sports, how sports would even possibly start to come back. There's so many logistical questions and not as many answers in so many industries.
Well, yeah, we commented while we were watching that it seemed really a lot like what we were talking about with production.
Yeah.
Except maybe fewer people. I mean, if you're going to do a baseball team, that's one thing, but a baseball league is a lot more people than a film set. But yeah, he was talking about the same thing, sequestering whole leagues, sequestering teams. He talked about what was it? Maybe Germany had started its soccer league under these new rules, mm-hmm. and a head coach had left the hotel to buy a toothbrush or toothpaste and would then have to enter a 14-day quarantine and couldn't be at the first game or whatever.
Unreal.
And, you know, you'd have to do that. That seems crazy, but you would. It's both, like, shockingly mundane.
Yes.
And also totally necessary. Like, how else are you going to prevent people from coming down sick?
Lock them up.
Right.
Basically.
That's all you can do.
You know, it's like, really what's going to happen in some of these industries is, you know what, you leave the lockdown in your house to go back and assimilate into real life, and guess what? Now you're locked down in some of your jobs.
Yeah. And you've got to start with a 14-day quarantine to see who comes down sick. So who's carrying it? Who, you know, has yet to show symptoms.
Game.
So yeah, you got to start with 14 days of isolation, make sure nobody comes down with symptoms, and then you can let people interact with each other, but not anybody else.
That's crazy.
And we were talking your industry, like, you are in post-production, but you are that sort of like in-between transition.
Yeah.
You interact with the folks on set, and you also interact with the people in post.
Yes.
So, you know, we were saying today, how would that work for you? At first, I thought maybe you'd have to be sequestered on set. But then I realized, you know, there would be another way to do it. Who knows if they would do it this way. But they could, like with hard drives that needed to make their way to you, you could have maybe runners that were outside of quarantine who, you know, on set, they'd literally open a door, mm-hmm. put a hard drive outside the door, lock the door again, and the runner then walks up, gets the hard drive, and brings it to you.
Exactly.
I could see that. I don't
know. Like, that person
really
never should possibly go on set or interact with crew. They should just have a designated pickup and drop-off point.
Right.
And then each entity deals with the product once they get it. And obviously, I think, you know, because that is truly what we do every day, is we take something from set and we send it back to set. So I think a lot of it on our end is going to have to be promptly sanitizing everything that goes back, making sure that happens, making sure that the only people that touch it are us and the courier. And I mean, I'm just saying this off the cuff. I don't know what the regulations and rules are going to be, but they're going to have to think that way, because it's true, you know, and it's like any handoff that's not monitored is a threat.
Yeah, right. And when it goes back to set, you know, I was thinking how, in spite of the CDC saying that surfaces don't carry it, I wouldn't trust that. And I would think that the expert you said that they would have to hire this new position of somebody who would be watching all the
Good luck.
All the COVID, whatever, all the cleaning procedures that, you know, that hard drive would have to go through some kind of cleaning procedure before it could be put back into use on set.
Just going to be like guys with black lights and shit.
Oh my God.
Ugh, I know. It's exhausting to think about it. But that's pretty much it. You know, talking about kind of news topics that have been hitting the internet recently that I discovered. I wanted to add a new segment to the show, and this is kind of going to something that we experienced last week when we went out into the world and went grocery shopping. We were out wearing our masks at the grocery store like good abiding citizens, and we stumbled upon a woman in the grocery store who absolutely flabbergasted both Catherine and I. And when we got out of the grocery store, we immediately talked about this woman. And this woman basically was kind of made her own mask, let's just say.
Oh,
you know
I
who
remember.
I'm talking about
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I do now, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, I wish I had a photo to describe this woman. She was basically wearing a disinfectant wipe over her nose and mouth that wasn't secured to her face. It was basically just under her glasses. Like, her reading glasses were holding it down as it was flailing through the air. And she was in the freezer aisle doing her grocery shopping.
Yeah, just wearing a fluttering Clorox wipe.
Yeah, like, in her mind, this was justification that she was safe. This was her idea of wearing a mask. So it just absolutely... It was amazing, the spectacle itself.
I mean, like, benefit of the doubt, she forgot her mask, she needed something, and she had Clorox wipes, and she thought, what the fuck?
She improvised.
I'll go for it. Right, but, wow. Like, that's the best case scenario. Everything else, I just go, what were you thinking?
Truly, I want to be in that woman's head to her logic, like, how she was in her minivan or whatever, and just MacGyvered this idea of, like, this, I'm going to be safe, because it's a disinfectant wipe, and it's covering my nostrils and my mouth.
Except it was fluttering.
It was fluttering, and it's like, that's gross, too. It's like, you just, now you have, like, the wet of the disinfectant wipe all on your nose and your mouth.
Oh, and it must stink.
It's not
too.
Meant
I mean,
to do that,
no,
lady.
And it's, no.
Anyway, she inspired a little new segment I want to do on the show called Pandemic. And basically what I've done is I've gone onto the internet and I found some of my favorite photos of a lot of DIY mask fails. So let's talk about them. I'll pull them up here. I only have a few. And I'll post these up in the thread for the show as well. But so you can see them, but we'll describe what we're seeing and kind of discuss briefly our thoughts about the efficiency of these homemade masks.
You have like 7 photos there.
Is that
right?
I think so,
like,
yeah.
7 of them? Oh, good
sure.
Lord. Let's
we'll,
go quick.
We'll move quickly through them. All right, so the first one we're going to pull up. This one, obviously, right off the bat is absolutely jaw-dropping. I'm not sure if this is farce or this is actually how somebody thought they were going to protect themselves from COVID-19. This person is wearing a leaf of lettuce, which is secured to her face with a rubber band, and she is
around the forehead.
Around the forehead, and she has cut out 2 eye holes. So imagine a lettuce leaf mask. I will say right off the bat, it is a very form-fitting lettuce leaf. It
yeah,
looks
it's
like
the
it,
right shape.
It's the right shape. It's a was a big head of like iceberg lettuce, and it's just perfectly secured to her face. Thoughts.
Okay, masks are not meant to protect you; they're meant to protect other people.
Okay, yes, that's correct.
And if she sneezes inside that leaf of lettuce, I don't see droplets going too many places.
Okay, cool. So you feel like they would be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be all over her own face, but...
It would absolutely ruin that piece of lettuce. I mean, obviously, you
can't...
What, are
you going to eat that later?
I'm not saying that's going into a Cobb salad or something, but... Very interesting. So that's the first one. Second one up. See, an elderly gentleman here. He looks like he's in some kind of a grocery store. And I will say, from the first glance, it looks like he's wearing a sanitary pad on his face.
It is. It's a weird name for it. Yeah, it's a pad, and it's got wings, and he's got a wing... stickered to his nose
yes.
and his chin.
I'm not going to say this isn't the most resourceful. I mean, it's pretty clever, I guess. I've actually seen this gimmick on the internet also earlier that other people have done this. And I mean, I guess it's kind of, you can breathe through it. It's going to block your nose and your mouth because of the shape.
Okay. I don't know. I've not tried this, so I could be wrong.
Don't lie.
But it doesn't seem like you could breathe through that. There's the whole like plastic and sticky layer on the bottom. If you really plastered that thing to your face using all the sticky adhesive, you'd have, I don't think you could breathe through it. So instead, he's got lots of gaps.
Okay.
And it's not very wide. It doesn't really cover his nose and his chin.
Can I ask a question man looking at this picture?
I'd go for the lettuce over this.
Okay, so you would go back to the lettuce. Okay, because I'm not familiar with the application of these pads. Is there an adhesive, like a layer on the ends that it attaches?
Yeah, on the underside.
Because how is it sticking to his face like that?
On the underside. The part that goes on your undies is sticky.
Oh, it sticks on your underwear.
Yeah. Okay, which, and this is hilarious because there's something going around on the internet that perhaps because of these coronavirus memes has become a point of interest for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that apparently a lot of people, men I assume mostly, think that it sticks to you like a Band-Aid.
So it sticks on your vagina.
Yeah, which obviously it doesn't.
Okay, yeah, that's probably men that also don't know where the clitoris is, so... Yeah. All right, moving on to the next photo. This one is very interesting. It's very futuristic. It's basically looks like a man in an old school, like 60s sci-fi space helmet. But what it really looks like to me is it's like a big economy jug of something that he bought at either a Costco or a Sam's Good, and he is a Sam's Club, and he has fashioned it to literally fit over his entire head. And then he's cut a hole in the top of it. And I'm not even sure what else is going on in this photo.
A hole. No, that's a...
What's
that's
up the top here?
That's the bottle. It's like a... It's like the big Deer Park water bottle in an office
But what's
building.
This... What's this blue thing?
I think that's cleverly
I can't describe
placed.
That.
I think that's part of the advertisement behind him. And somebody
oh,
just took
I see.
A fun
okay,
picture.
Yeah. So it is just truly like a big, like perfect, like you said, like one of those big water gallons that you'd see at your work office.
Almost, yeah.
Almost. Imagine that size. He's cut the bottom off of it, and then he's fitted the bottom with like almost like an old sweater that he's stretched the neck out and he's put it over the bottom and he's fashioned it like a goddamn, like an old school, like diving suit helmet.
Yeah, I would call
it's
that
the
like
most
a,
ridiculous looking shit.
Like a turtleneck. He's put a turtleneck at the bottom. I mean,
what do you think about that? Is that actually practical? I can imagine it must get super claustrophobic, and I don't even know if it's easy to breathe in it.
Like any of these things, first of all, I bet it would fog up
yeah,
real fast.
There you
but
go. Fog like, is a factor.
Like any of these things, I wouldn't trust it if I was a nurse in a hospital, but is it going to stop some spittle? Yeah.
Sure. Okay, practically, it will stop droplets. So, you know what?
Some.
Props to you, but you look like a freaking moron. Next one. Okay, well, I mean, this person in general is on some kind of a train. This looks like it might be in China or Japan or somewhere.
What tells you that?
This gentleman here, the writing on this advertisement, it's called Context Clues, Catherine.
Okay, I guess you pass.
And first of all, this woman is literally wearing which looks like a giant trash bag all over her body. She has kitchen gloves on. And then her mask apparatus is way more rudimentary. It's literally just one of those bigger jugs of water with the little handle on the spout, and she's just cut the bottom off of it and stuck it right on her face.
Yep, she has.
Now, as you can already see in the photo, it looks already really fogged up because she's breathing into it. It's like even under what she's under the actual jug on her face, she has a cloth mask on her face. So maybe this is an extra layer of protection.
What do they call those now? The big they're wearing them in hospitals. The big plastic piece. I forget what that's called. But
a
that,
guard or something? Some kind of guard, splash guard?
Essentially. Yeah. But that she's made her own one
she
of
She has.
Those. I mean,
innovation.
But if I will say, though, she's passed out hard. So she's able to sleep in that guard, in that outfit. So.
Or she's literally giving herself carbon monoxide poisoning because she's not being able to circulate any of her own air out of her unit. Now, this next photo, I got to give this guy props. It's probably just another, like, he had to run to the store. He didn't have a mask. He ran into his garage. He looked around for anything practical. And he grabbed what looks like to me to be just your average scuba glasses and a scuba, what do you call that thing? A scuba tube.
Okay, so the scuba tube seems ridiculous.
It's
but
dumb.
The goggles make sense.
Yeah, because the scuba goggles will cover your nose.
And your eyes.
And your
eyes.
I mean,
they're saying that you can get it through your eyes, too. So.
But again, like, dude, all you've done is just now you look silly, and all you do is have that scuba tube thing in your mouth, but that's not sealing or covering your mouth from any kinds of droplets. Somebody could still cough in your face. Bam.
Well, and I assume if you cough into that, it goes right out the spout behind you. So, yeah, it's
perfect.
It's just a tube.
Oh, yeah. Basically, what you've done is you've just created a giant spout to spray your droplets at whoever walks behind you in the grocery store. Epic fail, guy. All right, next photo. Now, this gentleman, I'll be honest with you, this is the laziest one I've seen.
This is the scariest one I've seen.
It's definitely the scariest one. It looks like this guy did this at the store. He literally just took a plastic bag and wrapped it around his face.
His whole head. He's got his bag.
His whole head. It looks like someone's trying to murder him.
Right.
And suffocate him. But instead, it's practical. He's somehow secured it with, I don't know if he's put a big rubber band around his neck.
Yeah.
He's actually put the same bags on his hands. He's also riding a motorized cart. He looks like a very large, obese gentleman. He's got some kinds of, looks like could be a Sam's Club or something. I'm not sure where he is.
Looks like Walmart.
He is definitely on that little motorized car, and it looks like, again, I don't know how he's breathing in this thing. I mean, is it protecting you? Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Can you see through it? It's also like a tinted bag. I mean,
I can't see from here. Does he have holes poked in the mouth?
He's turned away from camera. It's like a profile shot
like
somebody took
beard.
Of him.
Is the beard, is it under or over the bag?
Actually, you know, now that I look at it more, yeah, it's like his lower lip down is actually exposed.
So this is the dumbest one I've seen too.
Yeah, this is really stupid, dude. So it's like you failed on every practicality of this mask. Congratulations. And I bet that person has COVID-19. Last one. Okay, yeah, same one. This gentleman has basically flipped the script. We saw the other person using the pad, the feminine pad. This guy just basically took a pair of tidy whities, turned them a certain way and stuck them to go across his face. So imagine the part of men's tidy whities that just kind of go on the undercrotch area. That whole strip right there is basically across his nose. And then just the leg holes in the tidy whities are providing him to look, you know, have his eyes there. He looks like a creepy, pervy superhero.
Maybe that's what he was going for.
Yeah, I don't know what he was going for. Again, it's terrifying. Is it practical? Kind of. I mean, yeah, it's covering the nose. It's covering the mouth. He could probably breathe through it.
I feel like this one is a joke. I think the lettuce might have been a joke, too. But the other ones were definitely people in real life just living their lives, dressed up.
Living their best lives.
Yeah. This, I feel like, is a joke. He's got his glasses on over it. But
this is somebody's dad that sent his son this picture. Like, Mom and I are going to the store was the text underneath it.
Uh-huh.
And like, this is actually probably a dad joke. So we've been had.
I got one of those from my family. My mom sent me a picture of my dad wearing a full ski mask, like with just the like one of the ones for like super cold weather where only your eyes are showing. Like, oh, guys.
Well, at least he wasn't wearing one of your mom's pads. So that's good.
That's true.
Well, that's it. That was pandemic. Who knows? Maybe in the future, I'll find some other photos we can look at that are coronavirus related. But I thought I would try that out. All right. Let's round off the show. Let's get to the last segment of the show that we always do. It's about that time. Let's read some table topics.
All right.
Why don't you start us off, Kath?
I can't get the lid off it.
Oh, here we go. Let me shake it a little bit. We always do this end of every show. We read some table topics to each other. Again, if you're interested in it, it's a game. I guess it's a game. It's a conversation starter you can get. It has all different varieties of table topics. You can find it on Amazon. I've already posted it in a prior show thread.
Probably on all of them. You give the same pitch every time. It's like you're making money off of these things.
How do you know I'm not? And I'm secretly squirreling it away. I have a deal with table topics.
Okay, well. All right.
All right. Go ahead.
Here we go. I feel like these questions are always either really stirring the pot, trying to make you have an argument, or super depressing to read during quarantine. Here is the latter kind.
Go ahead.
What would you most like to accomplish in the next 12 months?
In the next 12 months, I want to go to a restaurant, sit down, eat the most delicious steak, and just breathe in all of the air around me.
I'm not sure that's an accomplishment.
Nowadays it is.
I guess. You're getting away with murder on that one.
What's yours?
Well, you're asking me today a project day. If you asked me on a nap day, I'm sure this would be a different answer. But here on a project day, I'm going to say, what are you doing? You're putting the cards in all backwards.
Sorry, I didn't think there was an actual system.
This was for you too, this pile. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know. I'm randomly looking through them now. Go ahead.
You're being destructive while I'm trying to answer the question. Jesus. Anyway, I'd like to fucking clean the house from top to bottom. Go. Next.
So exciting.
That's an accomplishment, at least.
All right, fine. In the next 12 months, though, you just did it today. You're going to do it again?
Are you kidding me? I've looked at the tip of the iceberg and gasped in horror.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, which of your partner's clothes would you like to burn?
Oh, I thought I was going to say wear. I want to wear your undies.
Well, honestly, life's already done that for us in the past.
Ooh.
So, sweet house burnt down joke.
Are you not going to answer this one, though?
For you, oh, boy. I don't know. I mean, what do I want to burn?
Clothes.
Yeah, you're very loungy. Your weird soccer mom poncho. I'd burn that fucker.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be tossed on the fire. Easy.
I would burn, except you would just replenish them. That's the problem. Like, again, you cut the dragon's head off and another grows back again. Like,
the Hydra.
I would.
Fuck yeah.
I would burn all your, like, yeah. Like,
all
you know,
you can burn one
saying,
thing.
Your saying shirts.
Oh, okay.
You know, all of your, like, what are those called?
I don't know.
They have, like,
funny shirts.
Yeah, all of them.
Well, you know, luckily a lot of those have been tossed in a Goodwill bag. Thank you very much.
That's
I've evolved
nice.
Past the funny t-shirt phase of my life.
Have you?
I have.
Serial killer.
I really have. Next card. Your turn.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh.
As I look at you. Visual cues.
I'm going to find another a good
one. I know.
One
I'm literally flipping through my deck.
Oh boy. This sounds fun. What do you most admire about your partner?
I feel like, again, we've had this question in 100 different ways already.
Sure. Give me one.
I admire
it always feels good.
Your drive to get stuff done. And I guess this pertains to what you did today. When you have something you really want to do and really execute, you do it. You do it fully, and you do it to the best of your ability. And I think that's a great quality.
Thanks. From the outside looking in. On the inside, it feels like it's never good enough. So there's that.
Okay.
I would say I love how you can just like talk to anybody, make friends. You're just very like sociable,
affable,
friendly kind of a guy. Yeah. I mean,
thanks.
I wouldn't necessarily want that for myself, but I admire it very much in you.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which habits or traits would you like to give up to prevent passing them on to your children?
Oh, probably the one I just said, where nothing's ever good enough. That's the one. Because I know I bug you with that too. Like, you do things and I think they're not good enough. And the things I do are never good enough. Nothing's ever good enough. It's never perfect. So that's, I don't like that.
Yeah, I think I would want to give up my... I sometimes go to the defeatist attitude of things where I get there quicker than I should, and trying to find negative things in things is not a good trait. I would say I should probably shed that because I don't want to teach my kids to always go to like the worst thing possible. I want my kids to be strong. I want them to find silver linings and, you know, look on the bright side of things.
Well, on the bright side of that, I think there's some strength in seeing what could go wrong and then making changes to avoid it or to try to have a different or better path for yourself. So I don't know. I think there are some advantages to doing it that way, but I see what you mean.
Okay.
It can be torturous.
Yeah.
What does your partner do that makes you laugh the hardest?
What do you do to make me laugh the hardest?
That's hard.
That's a tough one. Sometimes I laugh very hard at you getting in your own way.
Oh, that's that's mean.
No, that's not mean. I mean, it's cute. I mean, it's kind of funny.
Like
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I'm not saying it's like you, you know, tripping and slipping on a banana peel kind of shit, but you do a lot of things that make me laugh, but like the whole like laugh hard. I don't know.
What does that mean, laugh hard?
Well, that's what it said, right?
What? No? Question? Laugh the hardest.
The
hardest. Well, just anything. What do I do that makes you laugh?
I think you make me laugh when you try to purposely be goofy because you're funny. When you have like a goofy, you get into like goofy mode and like your voice changes and your whole like you have like a whole thing that you do, like a physicality to it. It's kind of funny.
Oh, fun.
It's kind of weird and cute.
Ah, theater kid coming out.
Ah, sure. Takes one to know one.
I like for you, I don't know, it's in regular conversation and you'll just say something that just, I don't know, you make me giggle a lot. I laugh a lot around you, so it's hard to say the laugh the hardest, but you've got, I wouldn't call them one-liners or zingers or puns or any, I wouldn't give it a name. It's hard to even say. You just have little things you say in, I don't know, oh man, recently, this would have been like almost a year ago now, but nah, it's recently. We were cleaning out the kitchen, yet another cleaning project, and you did the tong song.
Oh.
Tong to tong tong tongs.
All right, yeah.
Because I had like 16,000 tongs in a single drawer.
Yeah, you had a lot of tongs.
And you
like
were snapping
an
all
ungodly
the
amount of tongs, which then
tong song.
Yeah, prompted Cisco's the thong song.
So
but
things
with
like
tongs.
That, just all random ass shit, just makes me laugh. You do make me laugh. I love it.
I'm a born entertainer. All right, let's do one more.
I thought that was a good one to go out on, but okay.
All right, we'll do one more.
One more.
If we had to move, where would we live?
God, you had to stir the pot. If I had to move, like anybody really, I don't love change. So,
but if just tomorrow it was like, we now have financial freedom to go anywhere we want, where would we go?
This is a lame answer, but I'd go closer to family. I don't know. So either north or south. You?
Yeah, I actually feel the same way. I'm not sure about the South, just because we've been there, done
so
that.
So that's where my family lives.
It's very true.
So you wouldn't go to my family. You'd go to your family.
No,
you
selfish brick. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I would just like pack my stuff up and go live in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Maybe there would be a place up there that wasn't Pittsfield. Maybe not even Massachusetts. Maybe like upstate New York, which is just like pretty and quaint. There's plenty of land and privacy. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but again, I'm just kind of throwing a dart at the board.
So I'm going to use that when we talk about moving that back to Orlando and you get real excited about it. I'm going to be like, but you've already done that. You said you wouldn't want to do that again.
I mean, look, if it was like, hey, tomorrow we could go back to Orlando and have one of our old places back and it was be that I'd have a great, you know, job again. I mean, I'm pretty sure we would both probably say sure, right?
So my answer stands.
Yeah, I just wouldn't move to West Palm Beach. Sorry. Sorry, all those West Palm Beach people.
Also, I never said Pittsfield or West Palm. I said north or south.
Okay, fair enough.
So like Miami or Orlando.
Oh my God. Could you see us living in Miami?
I've lived in Miami. It was fucking cool as hell.
I'm talking about Miami now. You'd want to go and live in Miami?
I mean, I'm not. I wouldn't. It would be on the list of like, yeah, that might be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. If I had a really swank place in Miami, maybe.
Sure.
You know?
I lived on South Beach. It was fucking cool.
All right. Fair enough. All right, well, I think that pretty much wraps up our table topics portion of the show, and we're going to kick it off. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate you guys tuning in for 10 episodes. Again, we try to do these on a weekly basis, keep everybody up to snuff on our life in quarantine. I hope everybody's life in quarantine is going peachy. Hope if you are actually breaking free of your quarantine life that you are being safe. And, we're going to take you out with a song like we do. This is Back the Hell Up by Landis Hairy Larry. I'll put this up in the thread as well. But thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I see people in the park. nothing and a pig. No one's walking after dark. Everybody's staying, obeying. I need some bread, so I gotta leave my place. There's a man right behind me and he's touching on his face. I got my mask and my gloves on just in case. Tried to move, but he's taking up my place. But you got to back up, please back the hell up. Na 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 na, you're standing too close, please back the hell up. Na 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 na. I see people in line, standing at the Sam's Club. Three men walk up from behind, like they're at a dance club. They roll right up, cause they wanna ask a question. Keep 6 feet in, that's not a suggestion. They want to go with me to a jam session, to make some beats, at least that's the impression. But you got to back up, please back the hell up. Na 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 na, you're standing too close, back the hell up. Na 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 na, you're standing too close, please back the hell up. Na 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 na, standing too close, please back.